Father, we come to you this morning. We ask for you to have mercy on us, Lord. Have compassion on us, Father. Every single day, every single minute, we are in need of your grace, your love, Father. May you remind us, Lord, of your love, God, of you working in our lives today. We come to your word humbly. We ask that you would speak to us, God, as we pray, as we worship. May we encounter you this morning. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn to the book of Philemon. And we'll read from verses 4 to 7. Philemon, in between Titus and Hebrews, one of the shortest books in the Bible. So if you want to feel like you've accomplished something, you can read a book of Philemon every day. You can say, I read a book of the Bible every day. Okay, let's go. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Amen. I'm not going to get too much into the context of Philemon, but short story is that Philemon is a leader of a house church, as you can read in verse 2. He knows Paul and is well known, and Paul is writing a letter to Philemon to address a particular issue that has come up. Namely, one of Philemon's slaves has run away and come to Paul, and Paul is sending the slave back, but he's trying to encourage Philemon to treat him kindly, to receive him back, not just as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And part of this letter is for that purpose. But I just wanted to focus more on verses 4 to 7. I was reading this last week, and it really spoke to me, and was really an encouragement to me, because I think... I guess in ministry, at times it can be quite tiring, and I recognize we're all in ministry here, but you know, we're not always working at the church, so I guess sometimes in my mind I'm like, oh man, it's so tiring, I always have to like talk to people and listen and give, and for those that I've talked to within the past few weeks, I love talking to you. It's not that I'm saying that it's so draining, but I think at times, I wish that I had more energy to give. I wish that I wasn't at times drained from, at the end of the day, from having to do all these ministry things. And I think sometimes when I read this, if I'm not careful in guarding my heart, it can be quite a burden, because Paul says, you know, I thank my God, I'm always making mention of you in my prayers. I hear of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I kind of look at myself like, do I have a lot of love and faith towards Jesus and towards my fellow brothers and sisters? And this is where I say, if I'm not careful, I can really easily let the enemy in and have him convince me, like, are you sure you love this person? Because you have to listen to them, because it's a part of your job. That's your job description. They're part of the college ministry, or they're a young adult, or this and that, and this is what you need to do. And I think sometimes I find myself buying into that lie, right? And this is where this passage really encourages me, because if I take the time and stop and think about it and allow Holy Spirit to speak to me, I really see the truth. And it's like, yeah, you know what? I actually do enjoy talking to people. It takes effort. For me, because I'm learning how to do it. I'm learning how to, like with any skill, it takes time, takes practice. I learned piano growing up and I hated almost every single second that I had to practice. But now I enjoy it. And actually back then when I was practicing, it was pretty cool. at times. I'm like, I can't believe I'm actually doing this. This sounds really nice. But the practice, it takes time and effort. And if we get bogged down into that, we kind of lose sight of, I guess, the bigger picture. So I guess that's kind of the first thing. It's hot in here. The first thing I wanted to draw out from this letter is that Paul sees Philemon as how God sees him. And he's trying to remind Philemon's like, hey, you know, like this faith thing that we have isn't something that we really need to we should persevere at faith, but it's not something we have to bang our head against the wall and like, I need to do this, I need to get it. Paul is reminding Philemon as how God sees him. I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. I hear of it. I see it. And this is such an incredible thing about being in a Christian community, is that this love of Christ, the Holy Spirit that we have within us, is causing us to see people in this light. And like I said before, we might not recognize it ourselves. We might not recognize these great qualities that we have, this ability and the capacity to care for people, to love on people. And I think the first thing I want to say is, you know, we have to give ourselves a lot more grace in that way, is to look at ourselves and not to be so condemning or harsh, or, you know, have those thoughts like, oh man, I can't believe I did that, I'm so stupid, or, you know, those kinds of thoughts. Very, very low level and insidious thoughts. And to give ourselves more grace, because God doesn't condemn us. Yeah, you know, we may have things about ourselves that we do wrong, but God isn't going to say, you're so dumb for doing this wrong. He'll call out the activity, he'll call out the sinful behavior, but he's not going to say, you're so stupid, I can't believe you did that again. And we see this all throughout the Bible. When sin is being confronted, a lot of the times we see kind of like the sinful attitudes being addressed as opposed to the behavior itself. Like Jesus is addressing the sinful behaviors or the sinful attitudes. When Paul confronts Peter, as he wrote in Galatians, he's addressing the sinful attitude as opposed to the behavior, where Peter stops eating with the Gentiles. Peter doesn't really say, why are you not eating with the Gentiles? But he's more so saying like, what is it behind your decision, the motivation? My point. We need to give ourselves more grace, you know? And I think, yeah, daily, when we go to the Bible, when we go to the Word, when we pray, that's how we do it. You know, we go to God, we center ourselves on the Word, we read passages that speak about the gospel, about God's love for us, and then that slowly kind of permeates into our lives, and that's when we can really see change. As brothers and sisters, I guess this is my second point, we should give ourselves grace, but that we have this incredible opportunity to give other people grace. Like we have the, because we're not standing, we're not other people, we have this opportunity and this perspective to actually be a little bit more objective than they are. So, I mean, a lot of the times we're very harsh on ourselves. But other people, you know, sometimes when other people, they say things like, you know, I feel like you're a very caring person. You're like, I am? How? It's not to like fish for compliments, but it's like generally like, how do you see this? Where do you see this coming through? But as brothers and sisters in the community of the body, we do have, in some ways, this objectivity into other people's lives, that we can see things that they might not think is caring, but like, hey, that's really awesome that you would care for that person that way, that you would reach out to that person. And you know, like we have this ability to see people's blind spots. And a lot of times when we talk about blind spots, it's more so in the negative. Like, you know, I'm here to watch out for your blind spots. I'm here to like say, hey man, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that because it's leading you into sin. But maybe we don't have to talk about blind spots in such a negative light. we can highlight areas, blind spots that people have that they don't, you know, recognize the redeeming qualities that are inherent within themselves. And I think Paul in this passage is reminding Philemon just of a potential positive blind spot that he has. And he says in verse 5, right, I hear of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. He also says in verse 6, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective, okay, through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you. And so Paul is saying, like, you don't need to, we need to exercise what is in us, but you don't need to work at trying to get it, at trying to get faith, at trying to be this incredible person, because you are already this incredible person. The knowledge of every good thing which is in you is already there. And this goes not just for Philemon, but it goes for all of us. We who all believe have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We already have that. And it's not that we have to work and work and work at cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will produce by himself in partnership with us. Right? I mean, this passage just say, like, you know, I pray that the fellowship of your faith, right? It means you just go do what God is leading you to do, but there isn't this, I don't know, it's kind of like this gray area. You do, but God also does. We don't have to, like, grab it and scratch and claw at trying to become this holy person, because we've already been made holy. And we have to remind ourselves, it's this continual process throughout our however many years we live on this, in this world. I don't know. Life expectancy now is, in Hong Kong, is, I'm just pulling out of thin air, maybe, like, what, 70, 80 years? 88? 88 years old, life expectancy for women in Hong Kong. Okay. 88 years old for all you sisters out there. Maybe there's one person over 40 here. So for the rest of you, one sister that's over 40. So for the rest of you, you have over 40 years left to learn about how God is slowly perfecting you and transforming you. And so that we have grace. God understands. Yeah, so the knowledge of every good thing is not only in Philemon, but it is also in you. It is already there, right? I think this passage also kind of helps us, maybe tells us that we could reframe how we do ministry, or to keep in mind the purpose of ministry. And I find myself falling into this, especially earlier on when I started ministry, but now I'm beginning to get it a little bit more, is that it's not that it's not to fix people. I think as very high performance people in Hong Kong, we want to fix things, get things done. And it's not to fix people and not just to, like, hey, I see this thing in your life, maybe you should fix it. And this is where verse 7 comes in, where Paul is saying, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. And I think really this is the purpose that God has given to us. Because he wants us to be at rest. Because, I mean, if you look back in creation, 6 days he worked, and on the seventh day he rested. And this was the intended perpetual state for humans. What rest really means, I mean, we can go into deeper conversation about that at another time, but he wants us to be at rest. That's what the word refresh means, to rest. And so Paul is commending Philemon and encouraging him, like, hey, I'm so glad that you are able to give your brothers and sisters in your house church rest, that you're able to refresh them. Not necessarily to fix them. I think in the process of giving people rest, they will come to a resolution to the issues that they have. But I really believe that as brothers and sisters, as disciples and followers of Christ, we want to be able to give people rest, because that's what Jesus desires for us. That's what God desires for us. One of the ways that lately I feel God leading me to give people rest is basically just to shut up. I've also been reading Proverbs lately, and a lot of what I feel like God has been highlighting to me in Proverbs is listen. A lot of the Proverbs that talk about listening and keeping your mouth shut. This is for me. I'm not telling you, like, hey, go shut up and don't say anything. But I find that actually to be very, very effective in giving people rest is not to need to say anything when we're ministering to them or when we're talking to them. Like, we always want to say that helpful word, that encouraging word, or even to respond like, I am listening to you, I am processing through this. Even if you say that, I think that's okay, because that helps the other person know, like, oh, I'm listening to you. This is quite a lot to take in, or I don't really know what to do with it, but I'm trying. And I think for a lot of us, that's all we want from people. It's not that we want them to fix our issues or to give us a solution, but we want them to listen. We want to be heard and acknowledged. So at least for me, that's what I've been doing lately. You can try doing that. You know, give people rest just by listening to them and hearing them out. I want to close with this. This, again, this is not a tall task for any one of us. It can be a very easy thing to do, right? And it's predicated on understanding that Holy Spirit is already in us. He's already working. You know, we don't have to worry and stress and like, oh, am I going to say the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing this? Like, here's a very good question to ask yourself. And I've been asking myself this quite a bit lately. What makes you think you've been saying and doing the right thing all along? What if it's the mercy and compassion and grace of God and of Holy Spirit that has been working in your life? Even when you have said the wrong thing, He has turned it into the right thing. Even when you've had wrong intentions in your heart, He's turned whatever has come out of your mouth or your whatever actions, He's turned it into the right thing for His glory, for His good, for His purposes. And that's such a comforting thought, because you're like, all right, I can mess up and it's okay. I'm not giving you license to mess up, but it does free us to be like, I'm going to try. I'm just going to work with God and take whatever opportunity comes to me. I'm going to have faith in Him. This is what Paul was so encouraged by Philemon. And he's, again, commending Philemon. Like, I'm so encouraged by your faith. You know, Holy Spirit is in us. And He is the one that produces the fruit in our lives. So as Carter comes up, I just want to remind us of that fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says there is no law against these things. You know, we think of laws as don't do this and don't do that, don't, you know. What if we thought about the fruit of the Holy Spirit instead of saying don't do this, don't do that, and we kind of like flipped it into the positive and saying this is what is going to happen. This is what's going to take place in your life. And I want to encourage you, if you don't see that, God sees it. Other people, your brothers and sisters, see it. And so just have a conversation with them and have faith that, you know, when you talk to them, they're going to refresh you. You can refresh them. The Holy Spirit is working in you. where we could be refreshed, Father, where we could be filled with your love and your presence, Lord, not just for ourselves, but so that we could let it overflow to others around us, that we could give refreshment to others, Father. Lord, I pray for each and every single one of us, God. Holy Spirit, the things that you have deposited in us, the knowledge of every good thing that is already in us, that we would be encouraged to use that, God, to lean in on that. As we go about our days, Lord, may we be encouragement and refreshment for others. Thank you, Lord. Turning to community prayer focus, let's pray for those who are sick with cancer and have chemo or are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Lift up those who have friends and family who are sick and have yet to receive the word of Christ into their hearts. Except for those in a church with non-cancer related infirmities. Thank you. Let's lift up those in our community looking for jobs, pray for open doors and opportunities. Focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for churches in Beijing and Shanghai. Let's pray for Pastor Ricky and Pastor Hansu. Let's also pray for the Chongs and all the churches on in mainland China. Let's also lift up the board at this time. Let's pray for God to anoint them with wisdom and discernment. Let's also pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults, the men's ministry and the women's ministry. Let's pray that as people come to these ministries, their hearts would be refreshed, that they would be encouraged. Let's also pray for SB 2.0. Let's pray for Building Resources, the Benefactor, and the Vision Fund. Let's lift up all the pregnant moms we have at church. Let's pray for safe and healthy pregnancies and that there be no complications. our house churches meeting tonight: Chai Tea, Fortress, Happier Valley, Jia, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TSC, Ventress, and Westville. Lift up Hong Kong, let's lift up our city, let's pray for God's blessing over our city. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of our faith, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would be able to go deeper into what that means and how that plays out in our lives, God. Father, in the fellowship of our faith, may we be able to encourage each other to refresh one another, just like your Son did for us, Father. Daily remind us, God, of the gospel, God, of the good news that you have for us, and how what you did on the cross, Jesus, changes our lives completely. We thank you for the freedom, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that more and more, you, Holy Spirit, that you would increase your activity in our lives, God. Open our eyes to see what it is that you are doing. Help us see our blind spots, but in a positive way. We thank you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.